Good to see everybody. I'm glad to be back. I want to thank Byron for filling in for me while I was gone. We drove to Texas and we put about 4,400 miles on the car. So that was rough. It was very emotional too. But anyway, I'm glad to get back and back into the routine of things. What you have is a question before you. What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? And this is really the most important question that we have to answer before we leave this earth. It is the most important question. And so what will we do with Jesus? We're going to look at it from this direction. See, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea when Jesus was judged worthy of death and sentenced to die on the cross. And Pilate had to make a decision concerning Jesus. And so rather than make his own decision, he asked the people this question. And we heard it in our scripture reading, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ?" And there is no greater question that can be asked of by any person today. There is no greater question we can ask about this. What are we going to do with Jesus? And how are we going to respond to what he says? So it is a personal, it is a present day. We have to answer that for ourselves. Today is the best time to answer that question. And it is an inescapable and unavoidable question that is to be asked. And what will I do with Jesus? And that's the question everybody needs to ask. Of course, we know a lot of people are just going to ignore him. A lot of people are going to despise him and will act like some of the people of his day when they spat upon him and slapped his face and hurt him in so many different ways. And some people will do that. But some people will actually listen to him. See, every living soul has to answer that question. Everybody who is alive today has to answer that question at some point in time. And really, they need to make that decision and ask that question before they die. Because when they die, it is too late. They will stand before God in judgment and deemed worthy of death, and they will go on into an eternal torment. So, you will either accept him or you will reject him. And you will have to exist with the consequences. You will crown him or crucify him. Allow him to be your Lord. Or just reject him and be your own king. But you will do something with Jesus. One way or the other. How you respond is so very important. As Jesus was before Pilate, so Jesus is now before you. Pilate asked the question, "What will I do with Jesus?" You better be asking that question yourself. What will I do with Jesus? See, remember this. Pilate had Jesus in his hands. And now Pilate is in the hands of Jesus. You will be too. He's in your hands. What will you do with him? Because you will stand before him and he will be your judge. And we must remember that. See, Pilate judged Jesus, but one day Jesus will judge Pilate. And he'll do the same for you. And there were some voices that confronted Pilate when Jesus was judged that fateful day. And we're going to look at some of those voices and realize those same voices are here with us. And we have to make a decision about Jesus. And yet Pilate failed to listen to those voices. So we find people today who do the same thing. Notice that Pilate did not listen to the voice of reason. See, Pilate was no fool. You have to know that. You don't become a Roman governor by being a fool. And he was a person who got this, and he did it by knowing men. He knew how to respond to people. He knew how to talk to people. He knew how to command people. And so he knew men. He knew men what men were capable of doing. And he had that responsibility to control them and keep them under control. Matthew 7:28-18 says, "For he knew that he had handed him over because of envy." Pilate knew what these men were doing. They hated the Christ. And he knew that's the only reason they handed him over, is because they didn't want to do the dirty work. They wanted him to do the dirty work. So what was he going to do? Well, Pilate reasoned why the Jews delivered Jesus is because of envy, because of hatred. You remember all the things Jesus said about them. Jesus called them hypocrites, and he called them vipers. He called them other names. And they didn't like him because he spoke the truth. He didn't fulfill what they expected from their Messiah. And so Pilate knew that stuff. He knew why Jesus was being handed over to him. And it was reason that first confronted Pilate. The first thing he thought about, what does reason tell us about Jesus? Reason tells us he is the Christ. He is the Holy One of God, as we read in Mark 1 and verse 24. As we continue on, reason tells us to follow him because he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it was the voice of reason that Nicodemus said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." John 3 and verse 2. It was the voice of reason that Paul used as he taught in the synagogue. Remember, Paul was reasoning from the scriptures every day, and really anywhere he found an audience to listen. That's what Paul did, Acts 17 and verse 17. Pilate did not listen to the voice of reason. Pilate did not listen to the voice of his loved one. When we consider the next voice that confronted Pilate was that of his own wife. She warned him while he was sitting at the judgment seat. His wife sent to him saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." And you read that in Matthew 27 and verse 19. She was warned about this. And so she sent a message to her loved one. Don't do anything. It's going to be nothing but problem if you don't do the right thing. So have nothing to do with it. See, there have been many loved ones who have prayed for family members, begging them to come to Jesus and remain faithful. Many of us grew up in homes where our parents prayed and begged for us to become Christians. And others that we know about, that we care about, we want them to become Christians because we know the result of those who aren't Christians, their eternal suffering and torment. We don't want to see that happen. And so we want them to become Christians and remain faithful. There are many loved ones who have passed on and want their family members to avoid the horrible place called hell and torment. You remember the rich man and Lazarus, Luke chapter 16? He woke up in that flame, says, "I am in torment. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water." And so Abraham said, "Nope, you can't do that. There's a great gulf between us." He says, "Well then, send back warning to my brothers. Tell them not to come to this place. And send Lazarus back to tell them. If one comes back from the dead, surely they will listen." And Abraham explained to him, "God has already spoken. They have Moses and the law. And God has spoken." And the same thing happens for us. If our loved ones who were not faithful to God are in a place of torment, they're going to say, "No, tell them, get on the right track. Get on the right track, because I don't want them to come to this place." So God sent a warning to Pilate's wife in a dream, just as he warned Joseph. Remember what he warned Joseph about. And that was Joseph, the father of Jesus. "Leave, go to Egypt." And of course, the Magi. That came to see and find the Christ. The Herod says, well, go find him and then come back and tell us where he is. And the angel warned them, said, "Don't go back and tell them, because we know what his plans were. His plans were to kill the Christ." So God is warning us today through his holy word about death. You know, it's appointed for man once to die, and after this comes the judgment, because he will bring every fact, every action to light in our judgments. There will be nothing hidden from his sight. Everything we do, every day, every moment, every thought that we have. See, some people think it's only what you say. No, it's what you're thinking too. God knows that as well. And there is a coming judgment. We will stand before God and give an account of ourselves. So the Bible is warning us. See, Pilate did not listen to his own voice. And this is one he should have listened to, but he didn't. The crowds and the Jews were crying out for the blood of Jesus. They said, "Crucify, crucify." They wanted him dead. Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." We find out that was the wrong thing to do. In washing his hands, Pilate was trying to wash his heart. In other words, his conscience. His conscience told him, this man has done nothing wrong. This man needs to go free. It's like when a judge looks upon a witness saying, you have been unfairly treated. You are free to go. I mean, that's what he should have done. Pilate should have said, there's nothing wrong with this guy. Let him go. Take the shackles off his hands and let him go. He has done nothing wrong. He has done nothing worthy of death. But Pilate didn't do that. As a result, Pilate felt dirty. So that's why he washed his hands. His own conscience was telling him that Jesus was innocent, and yet he knew what was going to happen if he turned him back over to the people. They were going to kill him. So what does your conscience tell you about getting right with Jesus? Hopefully, it bothers you. And hopefully you will not wash your hands trying to soothe your own conscience, but yet you will recognize what Jesus did for you. Not only did he wash his hands, he tried to push Jesus off onto Herod, for he heard that Jesus was a Galilean. Luke 23:6-7. And he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction. So he said, okay, I won't take the rap for this. I'll send him to Herod. He thought he would rid himself of Jesus. However, Herod sent him right back, said Pilate once again, because I didn't want anything to do with him. This is your territory. You're the governor here at Jerusalem. You deal with it. It's your problem. So Pilate was once again faced with Jesus. What was he to do? Pilate did not listen to the voice of Jesus, as so many people today do not listen to his voice. The greatest voice that confronted Pilate was that of Jesus himself. In John 18:37, Pilate asked Jesus if he was king. And yes, the answer, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." The voice of the Lord speaks loud and clear through the Bible. You know, Hebrews 1:1-2 talks about the times past where God spoke to different people in different ways. But now in verse 2 he says, "But now he has spoken to the world through his Son, Jesus Christ." And so the Word of God, the Bible, are the words of Jesus, what Jesus wanted us to have. And so this is what we're to follow. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. We read that in Psalm 29 and verse 4. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." John 5 and verse 25. Those that hear his voice and pay attention to his voice will live eternally. But those who reject him, they will die eternally. In the last book of the Bible, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." We can have a relationship with Jesus. All we have to do is open the door of our heart and accept him and do what he says. Pilate spoke directly to Jesus. You realize not too many people had that great privilege of speaking to the man, Jesus Christ. But Pilate was one of those. He heard the voice of the Son of God. And even though he heard the voice of reason, the voice of a loved one, the voice of his own conscience, and the voice of Jesus, ultimately it was another voice that prevailed. And you know what? That's the same problem we face today. Pilate did listen to the voice of public opinion. That's the exact same voice we hear today, and that's why so many denominations out there teach their false doctrines. Because they're listening to the voice of public opinion and not listening to the voice of God. It was this voice that doomed Pilate. The voice of the crowds. Matthew 27:20. "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Mark 15 and verse 15. Yes, that doomed Pilate. History tells us that shortly after this event, Pilate was removed from his station and sent into exile. For the reason is, he allowed a just person to be killed. He allowed it. That is the reason Pilate was taken away. And those people really didn't care about Christians. They didn't care about the Jews. It's just the law said just people do not get crucified. So if we, in our court systems, all of a sudden they allowed a just person, a person who has done no wrong, to be crucified, well, that person should be removed from their seat of authority. That's the way we understand that. Although Pilate found no fault in Jesus, the verdict that ultimately condemned him and sealed his fate forever stemmed from the question, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" So Pilate caved into the pressuring voices of this world. And he did what this world wanted him to do. And let us not make that same mistake. See, Jesus was in Pilate's hands. He is now in your hands. What will you do with Jesus? Listen to the voice of reason that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The voice of loved ones who encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The voice of your conscience, because you are sinning before God. You want to be right with God. And especially listen to the voice of Jesus and do those things which he has told us to do. But do not wash your hands of him, because he will be your judge. Consider those thoughts, friends. Consider them very carefully, because your soul depends upon it. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone has a need to respond, if you have not obeyed the gospel, which involves, you know, belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. And maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. It's time to get right with God. Turn back to him, and he will forgive you, and you can have that hope of heaven. So we offer you this invitation while together we stand and sing.